everyone, and welcome to Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will become. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into a butterfly. As if that's not difficult enough, it then has to struggle while it's in the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly. I can't imagine that any of that is easy, but neither is busting through the limits that society places upon a person. And I love to talk to people from all over the world and find out all the new and innovative and exciting things that are happening and ways that people have busted through those limits in their lifetime. Today, Trent is my neighbor to the north. He's anyone who lives in the United States is neighbor to the north. He's from Canada. Trent, how are you? And welcome to Hashtag No Limits.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Shelley. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I am so excited to have you. So I'm not going to give away what your reasoning is for being here. So I just want you to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background's really fitting for your show here. You know, I was born deaf. I had 30% hearing in my left ear, and I was virtually just deaf in the right ear, like damn near no hearing. And it was funny though. We didn't really find it out until a lot later in life, but like 5 years old, and it was all by mistake. And then I went through those difficulties, those battles. I ended up making, going through the entrepreneur route, made a lot of different businesses, a lot of different startups, kept failing, you know, the entrepreneurial grind, and then finally got something that stuck and was able to make a 7-figure agency out of it. And I definitely beat a lot of the odds that were stacked against me. A lot of people had wrote me off, but, made it through.
Yeah. And so I have a million questions just from that short snippet of an introduction. So when I have run across people who have been deaf in those very early years, the developmental years, their speech is sometimes different. Mm. And I don't catch any sort of different intonations or any sort of accent, even though you're Canadian. I don't even catch that. So how was it, first of all, that your family and you didn't know that you had such limited hearing ability when you were so young?
Right. I was actually just kind of going through it a little bit with my mother the other day, actually just talking a little bit about it. And I was like, I know you've told me, like, tell me again, like, how did you not know? You know? And she's like, I swear to God, I thought you were just the cutest little kid doing a lot of baby talk until you're 5 years old. And she brings me into the doctor one time because she had to go in there for a visit for my little brother. And the doctors just couldn't understand me. She's like, you can't understand him? He's like, he's just being cute. He's got like a little baby talk. And he's like, no, there's something going on here. And we go and get my hearing tested. And like I said, I'm 30% only in my left. My other ear is gone, basically. And it had something to do with my earlobes not developing. And I had to go like fully or something. And I had to get a tube, my tubes in my ears. Mm-hmm. And then growing up, I think the only reason why I got through was just because of the amazing teachers and obviously my parents that helped out a lot. In a sense that through elementary and through high school, I was in ESL, English second language, right? So all through there. And so I was getting that extra help. Mm-hmm. I definitely can't pronounce some words still to this day. Like I really struggle. I stay to a lighter vocabulary. that was kind of my coming up. And a lot of the teachers said like, hey, Trent's not going to get through high school. Right. You got to prepare for that.
Wow.
And made it through. We luckily had, you know, a teacher through elementary that would even come to my house after school to spend time with me and help me too. So I had a lot of attention. And I honestly think that's the reason for getting through this, you know.
Right. That's awesome. So I don't know really anything about special education outside of the United States. So is there such a thing as special education, first of all, in Canada? And how is that different than that English as a second language setting that you were in?
Yeah, grade six. Yeah, I'm not like entirely sure myself. Like grade six, I was kind of just a little kid kind of going through it. And like grade six, there was like more of a special help class that I was in. You know, I was not in all the same classes as like the same students because I needed that extra attention. So that wasn't ESL. That was more like even more like inattention because I was getting ready to go to high school. Right. And so they didn't think I was going to do it. So, but, yeah.
So did they not think you were going to do it because you weren't like, what was the reason they didn't think you weren't going to make it through high school? I mean, because deaf doesn't have anything to do with intellectual ability. No. So,
yeah, they said that basically based off of me not like kind of falling behind, like me just not up to speed. Like for me, like that really affected more than just my speaking, right? Mm-hmm. That affected the way I was communicating with people, the way, you know, even the way I read and everything like that, just learning words and how to pronounce it. So I was super shy and introverted growing up. Like I didn't want to like read or anything. Sure. Yeah. And I was just super self-conscious. So there was that aspect of it as well, but yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. So what sort of things, I mean, you didn't have any academic issues. I mean, once you could hear them and you could relay what you knew out to them, was there any, I mean, obvious academic deficits then on top of having the hearing loss, or was it really like your intellectual was average or above average?
Now, I would say it's pretty average. I just kind of went through high school after that, just like not all through high school was I in ESL too. Like I was probably stopped around grade 9, but yeah, for the most part I didn't feel too different, to be honest with you.
But, well, that's good. That's very good. You're the first person that I've had in your episode 136 that I'm aware of that was deaf. And so, or is deaf technically, I guess you're still considered deaf.
No, actually like my hearing's like, I actually should go get a hearing test again, but yeah, like I all I needed was the tubes in my ears and that really helped me kind of get back to a good standing. It's just that I was so far behind at an early age. So,
and do they have early childhood education or preschool education? I don't know exactly what it might be called up there, but anyway, schooling before like the typical people might go to school at whatever age.
Yeah, preschool. There's kind of like that. It's like little daycare kind of stuff, I guess. That too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have those sort of things for sure.
And did you start early or did you just go at like age 5 or 6, like typically developing people?
Yeah, typical. I went pretty much the same time as everyone else. So that was kind of the journey there.
But. Right. So no, but I'm fascinated by the fact that like, you know, your mom just thought everybody could understand you.
I know. What? Yeah.
But so you don't have any memories, which I'm really happy for you if you don't, of like friends or people treating you differently because you didn't interact with them maybe in the same manner that some other student that or person that same age would be interacting with them.
No, I got bullied quite a lot, but my memory on it is not the most. Like I do remember like the ESL. I remember being in those extra classes and being in the, you know, the extra help class in grade 6, all of that. And I remember that, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends, you know, I was very quiet. I stayed away from a lot of people. Sure. And so, but I don't remember ever being like I'm super different. Like I said, I feel like I was like, you know, I'm a normal kid. I never felt too different in that sense. But yeah, I would love to have my mom on this podcast too. That would be hilarious. Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah. Do you want to call her right now and say, "Hey, mom, I'm doing this live. Do you want to join?"
That'd be hilarious. But it definitely put some challenges in the way though. I had that those difficulties for sure. And I just kept going. And then, you know, made it through. I kind of, you know, didn't ever, you know, after halfway through high school too, it was like, I didn't even think I was going to go into entrepreneurship or anything like that. And I thought my path was kind of set for me. There was like a family kind of job thing that we had all done that, you know, which is like working on the docks, the ports for like four generations. So it's like, I had the confidence that something was always going to be there for me. And I think that might've helped as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what age do you graduate high school at in Canada? Is it 18 or close to that? Like it is here in the US?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So I graduated in 2011. Yeah. So yeah, about that age. Yeah. 18.
Okay. And so when you graduated, you thought you were going to go work down at the docks. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, you had that sort of like, oh, in my back pocket, if something else doesn't work out, I can do that. But did you have something else in mind that you wanted to do? Or was that pretty much like you were set doing that?
That was it. I was set on that, honestly. And, I was like, this is my life. I'm like super excited about it. Family's all down there. Got a bunch of cousins. I ended up going down there for a bit, but it just wasn't for me. It was funny. One of the foremans on the job, he was like, "Hey, you know," one of my first days, he's like, "I think you should go back to doing your computer stuff." And I was like, really offended. And I was like, but later I look back, I'm like, this guy was right. So, so it worked out, you know, and then I kind of went into making videos and doing video editing, video production. And I did that for, you know, online, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. I grew an audience of 30,000 subscribers, 6 million views. That kind of led me into doing that for the automotive industry, trying different things out while I was young, and then kind of trying to find my way. And and that kind of led me down to being addicted to kind of working for myself to try to make something. It came almost like a video game for me. That's what entrepreneurship is for me. It's like leveling up every time, you know, something new. So, yeah.
I like that way of putting it. So talk about that. So I've, you know, the screen title says here that you're of remote CEOs. So what is remote CEOs and give us the, okay, so we've left working on the docs, we've done the video editing, and now we're into the entrepreneurship. So how from there did you go to where you are now?
Yeah, exactly. So basically I went from into the position I am now going through a $40,000 startup failure actually. And, it hit me hard a lot. I went through a dark time too after that. And, it was rough. It was rough.
Yeah.
I made a platform because I had the experience of being on Twitch and on YouTube live streaming. Like I said, I like video games. I don't really game much anymore, but that's kind of how I got my start into the whole world of business through that avenue. But I made a startup that allowed influencers on Twitch or YouTube live streaming to earn additional ad revenue by placing a banner underneath their broadcast where it allowed people to click on it to watch ads on demand in order to support their favorite like live streamer. And from there, it just blew up overnight. It was like 100,000 daily users in 12 months and 6,000 influencers using it. And we did little to no marketing. It was just word of mouth. Like everyone's like, "Oh my God, you got to get on this thing." And unfortunately, you know, I was flying around the country too, talking to some big investors, things like that. We were in the middle of closing a deal with Tencent and talking with Verizon. And as soon as I got back from San Diego, which was where I was kind of finalizing some of these things, found out we got shut down by Google. And that hurt. That hurt. It's we were just two guys. We were just two guys running this company. We were wearing all the hats. Mm-hmm. We weren't managing the traffic properly. And unfortunately, because of that, we would have to rebrand, shut down, make everything brand new. And I was like, I'm already put in 40K. I'm like, I'm out. I can't go through a whole like start over on this. And right. So that's where that kind of came in. And I went back to the ports, and I was like just working there. And I was devastated. I was beating my head on the wall. I was like, one time it was the summer, and I was just beating my head on the wall. I was like, what am I doing, man? Like, this is, did I actually just throw this all away? Right. And I luckily got a phone call from who would become my mentor. He was through my girlfriend's cousin, basically. And he had a successful agency of his own in Seattle. And he kind of was like, hey, I saw what you've done. You know, you're great at video editing, great at building a brand, social media. I want you to come do some work for my company. And I was like, all right, I'm interested. How much would you be paying? He's like, no, I want you to, you know, not be an employee. I want you to start your own business. I'll be your first client. And then he helped me build that thing up. And I built a digital marketing agency, and that's my 7-figure agency right there. And we help a variety of different people. We have 25 different clients in 25 different industries. We've helped hundreds of people build their kind of brand online, and that kind of established that for me. And he taught me a lot about, you know, you can't be wearing all the hats. You have to implement leverage into your business, and leverage is just other people's time. And so he taught me that, and really helped me figure out how to build a team offshore, specifically in the Philippines, because I couldn't afford to build my own local team. I just couldn't afford it. So then I built my own offshore team, and then I removed myself from the day-to-day and was able to focus on the higher value activities. And that's how I honestly built up that agency. And I was like, man, no one knows this. No one knows that the biggest important thing of any business is leverage. And leverage is only given by two ways. That's systems, and that's other people's time. And so if you can just build systems and you can get other people's time, you win. It comes down to that. Because if you're a solopreneur, you're going to keep failing, just like I did a lot of many times over time, or you're going to hit a ceiling, because all of us have ceilings. We can only go so far alone. And so if you want to go big, you got to do more volume of the highest level activities, and you got to turn up the leverage. And so that made me start the academy. We've already helped since December of 2022. We've already helped we got about 50 entrepreneurs in our academy. And so, yeah, we're just growing that. And that's the entire journey kind of, or I kind of just threw it at you right there.
Right. Wow. That's incredible. And as a solopreneur, I'm very interested. A lot of the audience that watches are people who have disabilities, who for various reasons have not been able to find work. Mm. With, you know, being employed by other people. And so they have started their own businesses. And so what advice, I mean, I know you kind of said it, but is there like specific advice that you would have for someone that is more of my type of audience?
Absolutely. Like, number one is, I think what helped me a lot, you know, with my setbacks is just leaning into my strengths. Everyone's always so focused on like fixing their weaknesses, trying to get better from weaknesses. So they go from crappy to mediocre in all their weaknesses. And why would you want a set of just mediocre skills or strengths, right? Better to lean into your natural strengths and go from good to great, right? And that's the strategy. And so for me, it was just, people kind of drew to me more. Like, people were drawn to me more. I was kind of like a people person. I had that ability to kind of you know, motivate. And so I took that into more of building the relationships and bringing that into the business. And I allowed people that were much smarter than me to kind of build things out within my business. In fact, I have someone in the Philippines that pretty much built a lot of the systems in my agency. And I wouldn't have been able to build that without her. So she pretty much built the whole thing. I just told her, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Can you build it? And yeah. And so what I would say is lean into your strengths, figure out what those are. What are you good at? What is something that you can do better than most at? Lean into that and delegate and get rid of the things that you can't do. Try to systemize everything, you know, try to leverage other people's time. And if you can't afford it, can you afford $200 a month? If you can't, that's 20 hours a week of someone else's time in the Philippines. And that's not someone that's like, you're not paying them good. That's good. That's really good. Minimum wage in the Philippines is $270 a month, and that's 40 hours. So I'm saying $200 for part-time. You're going to pay someone well. And where can you find that? Jobs, there's sites all over, but look at onlinejobs.ph. Go there.
Okay.
Make a job post. Start hiring. It's scary, but that's going to give you more time for you to go out there and do the activities that are going to bring in more business. Activities like networking, activities like get on a podcast, activities like, you know, doing more cold calling, doing outbound emails, doing whatever has brought you the most business. And so I would say those are how you would really start to grow and how to grow as an entrepreneur and start to scale your businesses independently. So
that's awesome. Thank you very much. So I don't know if you could tell, but I was writing down so that I can like refer back to specific segments and go,
okay. I give a long answer. I'm sorry.
No. That's fantastic. That's exactly what I look for. And what I like is to have as detailed as possible. I mean, obviously I don't want you to give everything away because this is your business. So you are training and teaching people how to do this. So I appreciate you sharing even one tip with us, but yeah, I wanted to take some notes and for my own to come back and listen to, but also for any of the viewers that are listening or the listeners, because it's video and audio. So either however they're catching this. And so these companies that you have worked with, what has been for you the biggest, wow, I never thought I would be doing this based on how my life started, or wow, this is so cool that I get to do this.
Yeah, for me, I've just like hosted my own multi-speaker event at a university. That was really cool. And I was obviously one of the speakers. I've been giving presentations, these kind of things I never thought I was going to be doing, getting in front of people. Like I said, I was very like quiet and stayed away when I'm growing up just because, you know, those like I didn't want to embarrass myself, but now I'm out there putting myself out there. Like I'm on a podcast right now with you. I would write this down as an achievement for myself if anyone asked, right? So it's just kind of that would be that, you know, that'd be the answer for me. But yeah. And by the way, I'm happy to kind of go more into depth of any other kind of little tips related to any of this. I don't care about giving it all away. So,
yeah. Well, I'm happy to let you tell as much as you want to tell. And I didn't want to ask more of you, but since you have volunteered it, please, I mean, share away with whatever you think it is. And I really appreciate what you said about, you know, you didn't say it in these words, but we set our own limits for ourselves.
Oh yeah.
And you know, so for me too, I never imagined having a podcast when I was always a teacher. That was always my thing from the time I was 9. I was a teacher. I was going to be a teacher. I went to school to be a teacher. I became a teacher. I had my own classroom and never thought that I would be an author. Never thought that I would, you know, be doing this. Never thought that I would be, you know, providing professional development to educators, to groups of corporations and companies and, you know, all those things that I was like, I'm a teacher. And I had set that limit for myself and never thought about how else can I teach besides in a classroom setting.
Wow.
And I'm still a teacher.
Yeah.
I just do it very differently now.
I love it. How did you find yourself going into this, like into that route of like being an entrepreneur? And
Well, the short version, and this is not about me, so I'm not.
Okay. I'm just interesting. Like, I'm just interested. No,
I mean, you know, you'll have to have me on your show and I'll give you the whole spiel. But for those listening, my last year of teaching, they told me they weren't bringing me back the following year. And I just said, Lord, what do I do now? Right. You've told me from age 9 that I was going to be a teacher. And do you want me to continue in that? Or is there something else you have for me? And he said, no, I want you to write a book and I want you to start working with families instead of directly for school districts. Yeah. I did that. I started it in 2018. Well, then the pandemic hit in 2020 and I had to figure out, well, how do I get the word out? How do I keep myself out there?
Right.
And so I thought, okay, well, the book was coming out in the fall of 2020. The stories that are in my book are true stories of special needs families and the limits that they have busted through. That's only 9 families and 9 stories. There are literally millions.
Wow.
And so it was just, well, have a live stream. Find people who are willing to tell their story in a half an hour or an hour and just change the perspective. Right. Of people and how they see others, and to focus on those abilities instead of the disability, that focusing on the strengths, exactly what you just mentioned, that we tend to do that. We tend to look at our weaker areas instead of developing our stronger areas. And when you said that, I thought that's exactly what special education is here in the United States. Mm. We literally pull out the things where the child is struggling the most and focus on that. Mm-hmm. And we don't use their strengths oftentimes. So I loved that you mentioned that, like, just find the strengths, find the things that you're good at, focus on that. And then the things that you're not so great at or that you don't love as an entrepreneur, farm that out to somebody else.
Exactly. I love that you're saying that, like that brought in a quote to my mind. And I forget who said the quote, but it's argue for your limitations and you get to keep them. And so that's a good one, right?
Yeah.
I read it the other night and I was, my girlfriend told me to read this book and she's like, it's something about like manifesting or something like that, like about creativity. And I was reading it and it was like, right. And she was just kind of laying next to me. I was just reading the book and I read that quote out and I was like, wow, what a powerful quote. Argue for your limitations. You get to keep them. Right.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's better to acknowledge your strengths. And, you know, there's a good, someone that actually says that, Trevor Thrones, and he's actually from Vancouver as well, Vancouver, Canada, where I am. And he wrote the book, The Power of People Skills. Check that one out. It's all about building really successful teams. And he said he's never worked with someone who had a skill set that was super successful that had a skill set of just mediocre skills. He always worked with people that had extraordinary strengths, right? And really bad weaknesses. But the concept he says is that you want to become so great at your strengths that people overlook your weaknesses. They forget it. They don't even acknowledge it. They forgive you for it. You want to become so good at your strengths. And that kind of stuck with me as well. So I definitely say that. But
cool.
No, that's right. Wonderful.
So give us some more tips now that you've offered. I'm just going to keep asking.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing, one of the other biggest things that made a huge impact on me was it's a community called BNI. Have you ever heard of BNI?
Yes.
Okay. BNI is.
Tell what yours isn't because maybe it's different.
Well, it's like Business Networking International, but it's just BNI. And there's different chapters all around the world, different cities. And when you're in a chapter, if you hold the social media marketing agency seat, or you hold the plumber seat, the electrician seat, the real estate agent seat, mortgage broker, it doesn't matter. If you hold that seat in that chapter, no one else can take that seat from you. And so you build that network of people. And then whenever someone requires that service within your chapter, they're supposed to use you. And if anyone in their network that they know, family, friends, needs your service, they're supposed to refer you. And so that really also helped me get a lot of business coming through the door and building my name. And so I would highly recommend it to anyone because networking, I call it, is one of the five CEO activities. CEO activities is something that really are the highest level activity things and typically only you can do. And so I would highly recommend that being something you explore. So,
yeah. And I want to chime in on that if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Because yes, we do have BNI around here in the US. And when I first started, I have a friend who I consider a guru at networking because I would see her attending this event and that event and then posting about it on social media. And so I reached out to her and I asked her, I said, how do I get connected? How do I get into some of these networking events that you're part of? And she actually has started her own networking company based off of, it's very similar to BNI, but you don't have to pay to be a member. And there is the allowance for other people within your industry to be in your chapter or your group. And can I plug it? I'm going to plug it. It's my show. It's called, it's called Women Empowering Women. So it is just for women, where BNI is for both women and men. But I have found myself plugging into several different networking organizations and continuing to do that because it is so important because it is a lot about who you know, not what you know always.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that definitely helped me too. The who I know.
Right.
You know, that that's a big thing. So I love that she built something like that because it is powerful. Getting part of some sort of chapter like that or some sort of community where it's networking, huge. The reason why I liked BNI over other options is just because if you pay, you tend to pay attention. And so people do show up and it's consistent. So there's that aspect of it. Or check out meetup.com. And meetup.com, you can find groups all over different cities across the world where there's networking events, all that kind of stuff. So if you wanted to really get yourself involved in other entrepreneurial communities, that's where you could look as well. So meetup.com.
Okay. Yeah. So BNI, meetup.com. And wewnational.com is the one that I talked about. Love okay. It. So networking and, finding other people to do the things that you're, so those are your top one and two tips. So what other tips do you suggest for those who are trying to get their business known or continue to drive even more business to them?
Okay, I got really two more. I got two really big ones here. Okay. The one right here is something that everyone overlooks. Everyone overlooks. We're always chasing for more new business. Got to get some more new business. And you, once you sign on that client and they're already put into your system, you're doing work for them, you tend to forget about them because now you're also focused on new business. And meanwhile, if you brought your attention and put your attention on your existing and even past clients, you are going to get more out of them. What do I mean? For example, we have a client, James. He's been with us since the beginning of our agency, and he was paying us $400 a month when he started. We now have him paying $4,000 a month, one client.
Wow.
We walked him up because we focused on him and going deep in building that relationship with him. Hey, what can we do for you, James? Hey, James, how can I take care? Hey, James, here's a gift basket. Hey, James, blah, blah, and really taking care of James and providing extraordinary service. So that did one of two things, which I'll mention is, right, like he walked it up, our prices increases, he kept paying more. He wanted to do more with us. So we were able to extract more money from him. Secondly, is because we're being such superstars to him, he started to refer business to us. And referrals, it's a lay down. Like it's, you know, it's it's way easier than trying to sell someone that's never talked to you before or saw your ad. And so those are why you should really spend, rather than 80% of your time chasing new business, 80% of your time focus on your existing or past clients, because you can go deeper, pull more money out of them, or have them refer. And so that's something that you could be spending your time on and really leveraging. The last piece here is a system. This system is called Instantly.ai. Now, Instantly.ai allows you to do cold outreach through emails with your offer on massive scale. So you could probably, you set up about 10 different domains, and within those you get about 2 different emails each, and then that are associated with what your offer is, and you blast it out through Instantly.ai. You send out 300 cold emails a day. You get about a 5% communication rate. And if you can sell that, you know, it's a great lead gen tool. So I'd highly recommend people exploring that. It's a lot of details for me to kind of go in, but I wanted to share those two things. So go deep with your clients and start exploring systems. I gave you a gold one, Instantly.ai. Leverage that stuff for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the whole AI thing, honestly, it's exciting, but it's scary to me. It's exciting because there can be so many positives that can come out of it. But it scares me because I'm a realist. And so I tend to see both sides of any situation. And so I can see a lot of bad things happening with the AI and all that's going on with it right now. So I'm always cautiously optimistic about things that are new and exciting, because I've lived too long, I guess, to see things that had very good intentions get turned into really bad things.
Yeah, no, I totally see your point on that. I think, though, someone like Alex Ramosi said, Alex Ramosi is a phenomenal entrepreneur. Highly recommend checking him out on YouTube or on Instagram. But, you know, he said, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing him, but it's either you take on AI, you adopt it, or you die. That's the concept he has. He says, look at it as a good thing. And those that do not adopt AI will get left behind. And I think even the CEO of Nevada said that. And so, the computer company. Anyways.
I have no idea. I was thinking the state, and I'm like, well, that can't be the right thing.
Nevada. Yeah, something. Yeah, it's a computer company, but they make software and stuff. But I think it's very important that we do go out of there and start learning things like ChatGPT. Like ChatGPT has been out for a minute now, and still so many people haven't even explored it or tried it. And the moment you do, it makes a huge impact on the speed you're able to work at and what you're able to produce.
Right. Sure. So I do want to pop up your website really quickly, because I do want to go over to it. And is there anything on, I'm going to jump over to the website. I'm not going to necessarily share it unless you want me to. Should I share it? Is there something on it that people need to see?
Oh, absolutely. I feel free to share it. One thing that we could highlight that is not really shown on there yet, but it's kind of like a sneaky little thing that just like a hidden thing that will be published soon, but I'll give you some insider stuff. If you go remoteceos.academy/ and then you type in work styles.
Oh, okay. Remote Academy and then / work styles.
Yeah.
STYLES.
Yep. Work styles.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And this is a free survey. I'm still doing some work on it right now, but you should be able to use it at the moment. If not tomorrow, I promise. But what it does is, have you ever heard of personality tests like DISC or Myers-Briggs? So I learned this from a business coach that I had hired. And essentially, and Trevor Thrones also has something like this as well. But it is taking disc and pulling and focusing only on the work elements of disc, because there's a lot that builds up your personality, your trauma, your education, your wealth, your social circle, your biology, all of these things. If you have a new trauma tomorrow, you are a different person potentially, right? Your personality tends to change every 5 or so years. And so by focusing on this, just your workout style element, we're able to have consistency, because work styles are the one thing that does not change. If you, for example, you get intoxicated, people often say, hey, you're a different person, Trent, you're intoxicated. Sure, yeah, right, different person. But if you hate puzzles and then you get intoxicated, your personality does not change. If you hate puzzles, you have trauma, you're still gonna hate puzzles, right? If you hated puzzles.
Okay, yeah.
It's the one thing that doesn't change. So this way you can figure out what your strengths are right here, right? And then you what to actually delegate, what to systemize. And so that's the power of this tool right here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that you said that our personalities change every 5 to 6 years, because honestly, my husband has his bachelor's degree in organizational leadership. And so he knows a lot about the personality types and all that sort of thing. And he's always telling me like, oh, you're a whatever. And he throws like the Myers-Briggs letters at me. And I've done the personality test and I'm like, but I am not that every day. When I take those surveys or tests, whatever you want to call them, I do feel like I've taken different ones in my lifetime and I come up with slightly different results each time.
Yep.
And so I'm glad that you just said that I was right and he wasn't, because you said we do change.
We do change every about 5 years, and 10 years, it's like dramatically different. I would love to have your husband do this and see what he thinks, but it was built based off of the lessons I've learned from a mentor, from the lessons from people like Trevor Thrones. And so it's something that they can check out. Also, if you click on free resources there on the top of my website and go to workshop, right there is where people can join my academy for free, where it's like it's kind of tapered off. Like you only can get limited access to a few things.
Sure.
One of them being like workshops where I host, and you can feel free to join those. And it's all available within there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So just remoteceos.academy. For those who are just listening, because eventually this is turned into just a podcast, not the live stream. So remoteceos.academy. And then to get the survey, it's /work styles. And I do have that in the comment section. So not only is it up on the screen, but it's also in the comments. So hopefully anybody who's needing it can find it easily in either place. Is there anything else before I know I've taken your website down, but I can pop it up quickly. If there's anything else you want me to put into. No. Okay.
No, absolutely. No, that's fine. Like my whole academy, the reason why I'm focused on that and I'm not like talking much about my agency so much is because my agency is built to a place where it kind of runs for me. And I want to help people scale their business while removing themselves. And that's the Remote CEOs Academy. I feel like I'm going to be able to change a lot more lives and make a greater impact with the Academy, because I'm teaching things that I wish I would have known so much earlier in my entrepreneurial journey. And I would never have known these things if it wasn't for that mentor guy who had a successful agency out in Seattle, right? He took me under my wing. He taught me a lot of this. And so now I get to give back, share these things. We help build like different systems within the academy. Like I build out instantly with all the students. So they have that kind of built out for them, show them how to actually use work styles, learn it, how to hire people properly. So you have the right people on the bus.
Good to great.
Great book. Like get the right people on the bus. Have you ever read this book?
No, I have not.
Oh my goodness. You got to get this book right here. So good.
Okay. Good to great. All right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
there it is.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Shoot. You said something during that before you got to the book and I was going to comment or ask for further explanation and now it's gone. So darn, I guess I'll have to somehow think of it and send it to you privately someday whenever it comes back to me. But
no worries. Yeah, no, I mean, It could have been, yeah, it could have been anything. I kind of just rambled there.
No, that's fine. I do want to know. So is there a industry or even maybe a business that you could think of where what you've suggested today probably isn't going to work?
Whenever I say hire offshore, people like a plumber or electrician immediately think, this is not going to work for me. I need people locally. Think about your finances. Think about your marketing. Think about having someone manage emails. How about building dashboards that have all of your sales and marketing? What about someone cold calling? Right? There's so many aspects of your business that can be put offshore. So literally it could help anyone. But I think the greatest impact that I'm going to make is someone, obviously, that's a solopreneur, or anyone listening to anything I've given here today, people that tend to be, you know, coaches, consultants, agency owners, they're probably going to get the biggest impact from this. But honestly, anyone and everyone should be doing instantly. Everyone and everyone should be hiring offshore if you can. If you want to hire locally, great. But your dollar goes 10x further offshore. And anyone can network. Anyone can go deeper into the relationships with their clients. I think everything here was pure usable for everyone. Anyone can use the content. So,
okay. Awesome. Yeah. I was just trying to think of some of the entrepreneurs that I know. And marketing, I just think no matter what your business is, marketing is still something that anybody could do for you. So that could be taken off of your, or not anybody could do, somebody could do for you so that could be taken off of your plate. So you can focus more on the actual reason you started your business to begin with. I don't think most people started their business for the marketing aspect of it. You know, like you said, the plumber isn't being a plumber. That's not marketing.
Right.
I don't do what I do to do marketing. You know, right. I'm not out there helping school districts and families understand special education. Marketing is like, that's difficult for me. And I do have to get out there and I do have to take your advice and the advice that others have given me over the years that I've had the business to hire somebody else to do those kinds of things for me, even a little bit. And I think that's my question. Start small. Right? Do what you can and see if that gives you a return on your investment.
Absolutely. You know, Eric Ries, I hope I'm saying his name right. The Lean Startup. It's a great book too. It's all about going slow and building the MVP, minimal viable product. So don't be so quick to go to the moon. Don't go so quick jumping in, right? I've been to the moon, right? I went there with my $40,000 startup failure, but we went to the moon, but we didn't have the brakes. We hit that moon. We shattered to a million pieces. So go slow, minimal viable product, and let people, your clients, your staff tell you what needs to be added, what needs to be changed, right? Just keep building slowly. And yeah, start off by delegating something that you really hate, that you don't want to do. You know, I took a student that hired someone that to do, be a financial director in their company. They didn't want to do any of their books. They didn't want to look any of the numbers. I hired someone else to do that, who gave them profit and loss statements every month, who did their projections. Are you kidding me? So many people don't have that. Imagine if you had that. You'd be able to make calculated decisions. What about hiring someone? I had someone actually hire an accountant go through this, my academy, hired a bookkeeper rather than another Canadian citizen. Meanwhile, they were interviewing so many different Canadian citizens. And she's like, I don't care. I just want to hire the best. If it's the Canadians or if it's them from the Philippines, it doesn't matter. She wanted to learn my hiring techniques. And so she ended up choosing the person from the Philippines, not because of the cost, because they outperformed the Canadians when it came to doing all the numbers and being a better person. So those are the things. Like, what do you hate? What do you not want to do? Get rid of it. Why? Because if you work all day doing the task that does not come naturally to you, or doing the things that you despise, you call that hell. But flip it around. If you work all day doing the tasks that come naturally to you, that you're strong in, you call that passion. So passion is going to make you more productive. Passion is going to fuel you. So do more of the tasks that you enjoy. Remove the things that you hate or you're weak at.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Yeah. Everybody has to make a living. So it's not that everybody is trying to become a millionaire or a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody is really going to be upset if they make more than what they hoped they would make.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people do it probably most people do it because they're passionate about it.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's one of the things that people tell me a lot is I'm so passionate, and they're surprised that I don't have the, 40,000 people on my email list or the, 40,000 followers on YouTube or Instagram or whatever. Mm. And it's because I'm not doing all the things that you just said to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even when I talk one-on-one with people about what I love, they are like, you're so passionate and you have so much knowledge.
Right.
So I just
imagine if you could give that passion out to more people though.
Right.
Right. You're probably not able to do it as much as you'd like to, because you have to do the other things that your business requires you to do that you probably don't like doing. Right. We're all in that same boat. And so it's about doing more of those things that you really want to do. Right. I think everyone kind of gets into business for that passion and for that freedom aspect. Then you find yourself not being able to take a vacation for like 2 years, find yourself stressed out of your mind because you don't know which way's up, which way's down. Right. And so the biggest thing is if you want that freedom and you want to do the things that you got into your business for in the beginning, try to systemize everything that you can, adopt AI and hire. That's it.
Yeah. So is there a part of you that wants to go and find the people that said, oh, he won't even finish high school?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And just say, look.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to go see some old teachers, things like that, and just give them a hug. Thank them. Thank them for that help that I had. And, definitely. I remember one, Miss Hardy. She would work with me after school, come to my house and, would work with me. Yeah. We'd love to see her again and see how she's doing and kind of show her where that's going, what happened from it. So, yeah. Shout out to Miss Hardy.
I can tell you from a teacher perspective, those are the moments that make what we do every day that much more joyful. And it's, to see that, we believed in somebody that maybe some of the other teachers didn't believe in, come back and say, I'm where I am because you supported me, because you believed in me, because you were there walking with whatever it was that got you, to where you are in that moment. Send her a card. I mean, if you can't even go back in person, but if you can find her and tell her you will make her year.
I'm going to make a note of that. I'm going to make a note right now.
Yeah. I, because I have a few students who they see me and they do that. And it just, my heart practically bursts because I am so proud, and it makes me cry with pride because I'm so proud of those former students that many people didn't believe in them. But because I did, they tell me, that was a big impetus for them to continue to move forward and continue to try. There's a couple of former students that are in the book. Yeah. And I just love to keep up with them and know what they're doing, because I know they're going to do great things. And that's what Miss Hardy did for you.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. Like, I'm seeing you kind of getting emotional. Like, you feel emotional.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to go hit up Miss Hardy. I don't know where she is, but
yeah.
Facebook.
Yeah, I'm, There you go. Yeah. I mean, you can almost find anybody there. And, yeah. But yeah, go to the, you know, the hometown of where this woman was and be like, okay, where is she now?
Yeah.
And find her. Cause yeah, you just, you have no idea what right. that does for us as teachers to know that, you know, cause we lose track. It happens. Yeah. So yeah. Well, Trent, thank you so very much. This has been, I mean, I hope my listeners are getting as much out of it as I have been. I feel like this has been just for me today. And so I'm very appreciative, and I hope that for those who are listening that you have gotten something out of it. If you want to reach me, shellykino.com. If you want to reach Trent, remoteceos.academy. And I so appreciate everything that you've shared with my audience today, Trent. And hopefully someday I'll get back to Canada, because I did get to visit Canada just a few weeks ago for a very short amount of time. But maybe someday we'll get to meet in person and I can give you that hug and tell you thank you for the encouragement that you have given me today. It's been amazing.
Come to Vancouver and I'll show you around and it'll be fun. And Shelly, thank you so, so much for having me on the show today. It was a blast and I didn't expect to feel like all these different emotions. It was really fun.
Well, neither did I, so we're even. There you go. All right. Thanks, everyone. Join me next time. Have a good week. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.